Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program, Today's Issues, here on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano. Steve Jordahl now with us. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, everybody.
Hey, before Steve jumps into the news, I wanted to remind you that we have our 2020 tours to Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon and Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown scheduled. The dates have been set. So if you're looking for a vacation with a purpose, so to speak, we'd love to have you join us on one or both of those tours. We go in June and we go in September. Those are the best months weather-wise for that part of the country. So we'd love to have you if you've been wanting to go on a spiritual heritage tour or tours. All you need to do to check out the price, the itinerary, all the other information you need to know is available at spiritualheritagetours.com. One of the main distinctives about our tours, we have Stephen McDowell, who is a historian, and he's on the tours with us. And so he speaks all along the way, and nobody knows more. You may find somebody that knows as much, but you won't find anybody that knows more about early American history as does my good friend Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation. So that's a huge benefit. That's what separates our tour from a lot of others. So check it out, spiritualheritagetours.com. Again, the June trip's almost half full already. September, not quite as much, but those tours fill up 3 or 4 months in advance typically. So if you want to go with us, check it out now. SpiritualHeritageTours.com. All right, Steve, good morning,
sir,
to you.
Good morning, sir.
Ready for a new year?
I am ready for
ready
a new year.
Ready or not, right?
Right, it's here whether we want right. it or not. So I read a tweet this morning.
You read or wrote?
Read.
Or you read a
read
tweet,
a tweet
okay.
this morning, and it said, so 1919 year in review. What was that?
2019.
Oh, okay. 2019 year in review. What was that? what in the world happened?
What just happened?
What just happened, right?
Hey, yeah. By the way, this new movie's coming out.
Oh, yeah.
1917.
Is that out? Is that in theaters now?
I think it's this weekend.
No, January 10th.
Yeah.
I've seen it advertised. I want to go see it. What's it?
It released in limited 7 cities on Christmas Day. They do that so that they can get Oscar consideration.
It's eligible.
It's eligible for the Oscars.
The topic is World War One.
World War One.
Yes. Do you remember the movie Gallipoli back in the day?
Mel Gibson's
first movies. And Gallipoli was about the Boer War down in South Africa or somewhere. But it was about a messenger that went to deliver a message to troops. Don't go because you're running into a trap. This is kind of a similar thing. World War One.
Gallipoli was actually about the invasion of Turkey in World War One.
Oh.
Yes.
There it was.
Okay. Yeah. But it was a disaster.
It was a disaster. Yes. And I don't know how
the movie or the
story? No, the
movie's
very good. It was Australians and New Zealanders, I think, that were – it was – and in fact, it was Winston Churchill's brainchild almost cost him his political career to try to break open the trench warfare in Europe of World War One by invading Turkey from kind of the underbelly, and it was a slaughter. And so that was Mel Gibson was a very young man in that movie, but it's based on true.
So that's
true
before
story.
The Patriot or
one of his first roles ever back
right.
in the '80s.
I think it might have been before. I never
before
saw
he was an
Mad
international
Max.
Superstar.
Yeah.
Right,
okay,
right. You. So this is I think this is based either on historical or similar kind of story where there's a messenger that needs to be sent because remember World War One before radio communications they did a battle plan. They set their watches and said, okay, at 10:05, you're going. And they found out that they were heading into an ambush. And so this guy is sending, my understanding of the movie is the general or the colonel sends this messenger, you got to get to these people before they launch or else they're going to be dead. And
wow.
So
based on a true story?
I'm not sure if it's an actual event.
But the runners, because to your point, they used runners. So
right.
They had fast guys, and they give them a message, take it to General so-and-so, run. And it was two men sent, and one of them, who's sent in the movie now, his brother is in the outfit that could be ambushed.
Oh, wow. Wow. So when is that in theaters?
January 10th.
So that's this Friday.
So that would be this weekend.
This weekend.
But it also that film was, and we haven't seen the movie, so we don't know about the language or anything else. So we're not.
I think it's rated R, so be ready for at least a lot of violence.
It is a war movie.
It's a war movie.
And right. So you're going to see carnage.
So we're not recommending or denouncing here. We're talking about the fact that it's coming out and is receiving rave reviews.
Right.
And it was also shot, in one?
Well, this is what I had heard early on, that it was the movie was a single camera shot, never, no breaks. But I think I'm mistaken on that. I think it is made to look like that.
Okay.
So there's no breakaway scenes. You follow these two runners.
Gotcha.
The whole thing, and it's from their point of view, and you never break away to headquarters or something like that. So it's shot to look like that. That's my understanding now. And that in itself is getting it quite a bit of buzz.
It's kind of a different way of telling a story, I guess. And just so you know, this, according to what I'm reading on the movie theater site, it's rated R for violence, some disturbing images, and language. Be forewarned.
Yeah. Right.
It's probably not a good idea to bring your kids.
Right. Just wanted people to...
Like they're saying, it's the best war picture since Saving Private Ryan.
Which was seminal
in
changing the way that war was filmed.
Portrayed.
Right.
Yes.
And that was Tom Hanks.
That was
Tom Hanks.
Speaking of Tom Hanks.
There's a picture of him that's going viral from the Golden Globe Awards last night.
Yeah.
Seth, tell us about that.
So the Golden Globes were last night, and they were hosted by a British comedian named Ricky Gervais. Now, I don't know if any of you guys remember on this side of the pond the show The Office.
Right.
Well, Carell.
Carell, yeah.
Ricky Gervais, that was taken from a British show called the same thing, called The Office, and Ricky Gervais gained fame from producing that and from being Steve Carell's character in the British thing. So, but he's basically a comedian that just likes to poke fun at everybody. He's very anti-Christian in a lot of his stuff, but he'll spare no one, as you're going to hear. This is part of his opening monologue last night at the Golden Globes. This is to Hollywood's elites. They're all sitting in the room.
Including
Tom Hanks. Listen to what he says. Cut 7.
Apple roared into the TV game with a morning show, a superb drama, a superb drama about the importance of dignity and doing the right thing, made by a company that runs sweatshops in China. So, well, you say you're woke, but the companies you work for, I mean, unbelievable. Apple, Amazon, Disney. If ISIS started a streaming service, you'd call your agent, wouldn't you? So, if you do win an award tonight, don't use it as a platform to make a political speech, right? You're in no position to lecture the public about anything. You know nothing about the real world. Most of you spent less time in school than Greta Thunberg.
he's slamming the political and business elites, I guess, the rich and powerful who are in the audience for this, and the entertainment industry leaders. Tom Hanks being a... Tom Hanks, his face that's going viral, his facial expression is like, that's awkward.
Yeah.
Huh?
It was kind of like, ooh.
Like I'm embarrassed for the people sitting around me right now. Can we move on with the show?
Well, Ricky Gervais continued. He said, I came here in a limo tonight, and the license plate was made by Felicity Huffman.
She's the one that's going to prison.
It's a college admission scandal.
Yeah. Oh, my.
And
you know, in a limousine, that's interesting. Any Hollywood elites would be going to anything in a limousine, given we got 10 years of this planet as we know it, is
before it's all destroyed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he was slamming them for it. Good for him. And now he is an atheist, yes. And he's
the Bill. He's sort of like Bill Maher.
Yes,
he's over there in
very hateful towards Christians. So so we shouldn't be hateful back. We should pray for the man.
But I wouldn't go. I wouldn't go on YouTube and look at any Ricky Gervais comedies. It's foul.
But the point of this is, it's funny that he would call out the Hollywood elite for their rank hypocrisy. He would do it in their face.
Right.
That is.
That was brilliant.
Yeah.
He was talking about, this show is going to a great show about poor and having dignity, but it's produced by a company that owns sweatshops in China, and he said, don't think that you know the rest of you get away with anything.
Right.
If ISIS started a streaming channel,
you'd have your agent.
You'd call your agent.
Don't get up here and give us political speeches about how woke you are.
Yeah.
Basically, is what he
said. That was great stuff.
Right.
There was another moment that I'd like to bring to you guys. This is a little bit more serious, and I want you to listen. We've asserted for a long time that the left uses abortion as a religion, that it is, in fact, an article of religious faith with them that they should be allowed to kill their children. And Michelle Williams is an actress who accepted a Golden Globe last night during the Golden Globes Awards for the best actress in a limited series. So this is what she had to say, and I want you to listen for the connection between abortion and faith. It's a little subtle, but it's right there. Cut 14.
I'm grateful for the acknowledgement of the choices I've made, and I'm also grateful to have lived at a moment in our society where choice exists, because as women and as girls, things can happen to our bodies that are not our choice. And I wouldn't have been able to do this without employing a woman's right to choose. To choose when to have my children and with whom. I know my choices might look different than yours, but thank God or whomever you pray to that we live in a country founded on the principle that I am free to live by my faith and you are free to live by yours.
Her faith being, I can kill my children.
Yeah,
I was having a hard time figuring out, which when she said I can choose when to have my, so she was, at first I thought she was kind of tricking the people, but no, this was a pro-abortion.
Yes.
It was a pro-abortion message.
It was
a pro-abortion. Freedom to choose when to have children. You know, the way the left, people on the left frame that issue is just so disingenuous. And so dishonest. Now, some of them are getting more blunt about it. They admit it, that it's an unborn baby.
Right.
But how does it sound? Excuse the graphicness of what I'm about to say. If you've got children around, probably don't need to hear it, abortion described. But to make my point, you have her calling it freedom to decide when to have my children.
Right.
Versus the reality of what abortion is, which is ripping an unborn baby limb by limb and sucking it out of the mother's uterus.
Right.
Now, is that the same as freedom to know when to have your... You see what I'm saying?
That baby sure wishes it had a little bit of choice in the matter.
Right. What happens with if you've never read about what abortion really is, just prepare yourself. But everybody does need to know what exactly we're talking about here. We're not talking about a blob of tissue.
Right.
The way that the unborn babies are killed.
And the way they respond to the pain of that process. Now, we should mention that there are probably women who are listening and men who are listening right now who have participated in abortions. Men encouraging.
Who regret the women, it.
That regret it. And there is forgiveness for that. We want to make that clear. There is forgiveness through Jesus Christ for that. So we are not condemning, you know, women who have probably already wrestled with that as well. And every time this discussion turns that way, they feel that sense of shame. Christ came to bring forgiveness for those who repent and ask for it. So this isn't an attempt to condemn people, but we want to make clear that the way this woman was describing this, and who was she? What was her name?
Michelle Williams.
Okay. That's not a true and just and righteous way of describing what happens. These are babies being murdered in the most grisly way possible.
Right. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. By the way, related to what you were discussing earlier about what happened at the Golden Globe Awards.
Yes.
The best actor went to Joaquin Phoenix.
For Joker?
For the movie The Joker.
Yeah.
But he said to the those in attendance, he sort of scolded the Hollywood elite for taking private jets everywhere by claiming to be against to fight global warming. So
he's always been a kind of his own drummer kind of guy, kind of a little strange even by Hollywood.
Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah,
he seems like an odd duck.
Yeah.
Great actor, though.
Yeah.
I did not see Joker.
I did.
I saw him in the Johnny Cash movie.
He's very good in that.
He played Johnny Cash.
He also played in Gladiator.
Did he?
He was the emperor.
Was that the one with Russell Crowe?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Joaquin Phoenix. But anyway, I just found it funny. He said, we don't have to take private jets to Palm Springs for the award. Or back sometimes. He's talking about, I guess, Palm Springs from L.A. Was this in L.A.?
Well, they had this award. It was, yes.
Probably 20-minute flight. But anyway, limousine liberals, got to love them. Huh?
What they're called, yep.
Lecture the world on global warming while they take their private yachts and carbon emissions through the roof, so to speak.
Yeah, and people like Al Gore, who own three big, homes.
They don't believe it. You know what, folks? Most of these people do not actually believe that the world's going to end in 10 years.
Right.
Like AOC says, or Al Gore predicted the polar ice caps would melt a long time ago.
Yeah.
He gave it 5 years, and 5 years came and went, and we still had polar ice caps.
Yeah.
But the point
and New York City.
As you've said, Ed, before, yes. as you've said here, and Barack Obama buys a multi-million dollar mansion in the Vineyard, Martha's Vineyard, I think it is, right on the shore.
Yeah.
While the shore is supposed to be swallowed up in the next few years with,
according to AOC,
with melted ice from the
right.
From the North Pole. But as you've said here before, Ed, most of these people in Hollywood and these celebrities about on certain issues, especially when it comes to climate change or global warming, that's one issue where you can't. You can't voice an opinion any different than the ruling class has established, and that is that the Greta Thunberg view of global warming, right?
Right?
Or the Al Gore view of climate change.
As I've said before, they don't believe it, and I can prove it. Because if we were in those kinds of dire circumstances where we have to do something right now, then you wouldn't have these singers doing concerts at night. Athletes wouldn't be playing in ball games at night. These actors and actresses would say, don't go see our movies at night because all that is increasing our carbon emissions.
So but they don't believe
they
it.
They don't believe it. Or it's they just, believe
it's virtue signaling.
Yes.
It's look what a wonderful person I am because I care about the planet. And I'm going to tell you little people how to live out there.
Right.
While I live my own rich, luxurious lifestyle.
Yeah. And get a pat on the back when I go to my cocktail party with all my friends, all my equally rich friends.
Right. So most of them don't believe it. As I said, it's just them trying to be morally superior.
Yes.
Than the ignorant masses out there.
Correct.
We don't have to lead by example because we are important people.
That's right.
Right. Huh? We're doing more than most people, so we get a pass.
Right. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on AFR. Go ahead, Steve.
I just wanted to kind of close this down with some interesting things that maybe you're a little offbeat. Finland has a new prime minister, and she's the youngest prime minister ever. Her name is Sanna Marin. She's 34 years old.
Finland, you said?
Finland, the country of Finland.
She's the prime minister.
She's
of
their
Finland?
Prime minister. Mm,
34.
34. Now, you know how millennials have been, we call them snowflakes. This is what happens when a snowflake gets her way. So, Finland is introducing a 4-day work week with 6-hour days.
What?
That's going to do wonders for their economy, isn't it?
You mean that's now required?
Under massive reform by the world's youngest prime minister. will let workers spend more time with family and enjoy their lives, cultures, and hobbies.
But with less money.
I can't wait to hear this. I would like to hear this phone call between her and President Trump on her paying up for her NATO bill.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Mr. President, President Trump, but we don't have the kind of money we used to.
Right?
We've slimmed down to a four-day work week, six hours a day.
That's 24 hours. That's 24 hours. No, wait. It's a four-day week?
Four times six, 24.
Oh, four. 24, okay. Yeah. 26 day. I got a little confused there.
Finland,
so 24
huh?
hours.
Finland, okay.
They're a socialist country, as those Scandinavian countries are. It doesn't say anything here, but I just don't believe that they're going to cut back on their pension and all of the other social perks that the socialist country gives out. This is going to be an interesting little little petri dish of socialism. See how this works.
I wonder if this is like required of all businesses, or if this is just
maybe
government. Just the
government.
Which government's probably pretty expansive in Finland.
Yeah. The current work week in Finland is 8 hours per day for 5 days a week. But that's just what the work week is. It doesn't say what it's limited to, but yeah.
And then what's what gets me about this kind of thing is the people who want to work 4 days a week, mm-hmm. 6 hours a day, want to then leave work and go to a restaurant that has to stay open 24 hours. How does that work? I guess they just have multiple shifts.
Right, multiple shifts. You get four shifts a day now, I guess. So.
All right.
Okay, and this is to end this whole thing. This is proof.
The whole thing's going to end, Steve?
No, in 4 years.
Yeah, okay.
That crazy
the water's coming this far up this far from up. The Gulf of Mexico?
Crazy people can file lawsuits, too. I want to tell you about a federal court case that's been filed against Gaston County. This is in North Carolina. And the name of the defendants, some of the defendants, Bulu, Tony Tiger, Girlfriend Sarah, Bubba Logan, Sally Girl Sally, and Rascal Russell. They are six.
This is a pro wrestling outfit?
No. This is a gentleman or a woman that's bringing a civil rights violation on behalf of her cats.
What?
She names the cats in the lawsuit. They're suing. The cats are suing the county.
Because the cats are suing.
This was a cat lady or a cat man that had just tons of cats, and animal control came in and cleaned it up. Well, she's saying that it violates the civil rights of her to own cats and her cats to have a home. So the names of the pets and the owner appear on the cover page of the federal complaint.
Well, cats don't have civil rights.
Violation of due process for felines and humans.
Yeah, well, that's...
I don't think this is going to go far, but
no.
Just so you know, crazy people can file lawsuits.
What's the name of those cats again?
Bulu, Tony Tiger, Girlfriend Sarah, Bubba Logan, Sally Girl Sally, Rascal Russell, and more. I don't have the other names.
Let me just say, to have that many cats, that's too many long names.
Yeah, really.
Don't you?
Besides, cats don't
wear
come
you
when
out
you call
having
them.
To say those names every time you call a cat.
Cats don't come when you call them anyway.
Right?
Yeah. So why even have? Why not just go cat number one, cat number two, cat number three, number three. Get down from there. Don't make me swat you.
Oh, now you've just encouraged animal cruelty.
Swat lovingly with something soft.
All right. Thank you, Ed.
Yes. Absolutely.
Thank you, Steve.
It. My privilege.
Day number six of 2020.
And Adam Schiff still hasn't blinked. Got to give it up for Adam Schiff.
We're watching, though.
Step right up, ladies and gentlemen. The bearded lady and the guy who doesn't blink.
Can you guess his weight?
Welcome to our fair. All right. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Have a great day.